This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Rolling along on a Thursday edition of VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis alongside the Moose, Mark Melusis, the Maestro, Mike Palm, upcoming in 30 minutes time. And we've got a dandy, I'm sure, of Palm's Pressing 3. We will visit with Mike Palm live and in living color right there in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Sports Casino and Resort. Live and in living color is the quarterfinal round of the World Cup getting underway later this afternoon. If you're just joining us, we appreciate you making us a part of your morning routine. Let's get you caught up with today's highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
All right, it's a rematch of the 2022 semifinal in which Le Bleu of France beat Morocco 2-0 to advance to the World Cup final. Well, today, it's all about qualifying for that semifinal. France, still a $4 favorite to qualify. Morocco is 3-1 on the comeback here. And if you want to dabble in the 90 minutes plus stoppage time, minus $1.70 for France, 5-1 is Morocco. The draw at plus 285. Winner of this match will play tomorrow's winner between Spain and Belgium. Moose, I know we will break this one down in earnest with Anthony DeBundo in the final hour of the program. But again, probably France's game to lose here. And Kylian Mbappe just one behind Lionel Messi in that golden boot race as well.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and listen, Mbappe's been brilliant. Looking forward to getting it going this afternoon. Missed the soccer yesterday, Jensen. I got to be honest with you a little bit. I really do. But a little bit of history on the line. I mean, you have to go back to Morocco has not lost a match in 34 straight matches. I mean, they've been really, really good. And I think France is trying to become just the third nation ever to reach three consecutive semifinals in the World Cup in three consecutive years. I think Germany did it. Brazil did it going back to the mid-90s to the early 2000s. So a little bit of history on the line as well. France, the betting favorite going into this one, nearly 4-1 to advance into the semifinals. The expectation is that they will, but you know, Morocco could be sneaky here. There's no doubt. And this is a team that is battle tested. They play their brand of soccer. We know that. I would imagine that they're going to make the French team go out there and earn it. But I think in the end, it's just going to be too much of a talented French team, and they're going to march on to the semifinals.
Yeah, France still the short shot at plus $1.80 to win the World Cup. Morocco has now fallen down at least below. They were 30-1. 25 to 30 to 1 in some places, and now 28 to 1 on DraftKings. Again, that match kicks off at 4 o'clock Eastern time. Already kicked off across the pond. That's the Genesis Scottish Open, and we have a three-way tie atop the leaderboard at 5 under. Tom Kim, Bernd Weisberger, and American Patrick Cantlay. And don't look now, but Brooks Koepka, one shot off the lead as he has a 4 under in his first round. A really good start for him. Rory McIlroy also one off the pace. He has two more holes to play. He's 4 under. We get some of the bigger boys off later with Scottie Scheffler, Ludvig Åberg. Right now, Scottie Scheffler still the short shot, plus 470. Rory McIlroy is plus 750. Those are the two in single digits at the moment. Patrick Cantlay, though, heck of a first round. He is now down to 15-1 to win the Genesis Scottish Open. Now, we will obviously visit with our fearless leader, Dave Ross, later on in the program. He will give us his thoughts and also any updated wagers he has for this tournament, as well as a preview of UFC 329. We talked about it before. If you're just joining us, two shots at history yesterday, and boy, oh boy, we thought Dylan Cease might get it across the line. He was within a couple of outs of getting a no-hitter, but it was Elliot Ramos of the Giants that was able to break that one up. We also had a perfect game from Jared Jones through six innings. He was lifted after 77 pitches, unable to finish his outing due to some constraints put in before he began his outing. Was already ruled here, Moose, that he was going to go five ups. So basically five times up on the mound or 80 pitches, whichever came first. He was so efficient, according to his manager, Don Kelly, that they had a running back out there and he still finished below the 80 pitch threshold. I know we were talking some Yanks early. They end up losing to the Rays yesterday, 5-15, entering their last 20 games yesterday. And the strikeout totals continue to mount. Make sense of it, Moose. It is a little bit more panic time in the Bronx than I think people want to let on so far.
Yeah, it's terrible. I mean, it's an awful watch. Tampa's so good right now. They really are. But, you know, the Yankees attempting a safety squeeze last night. That's when you know you're pressing a little bit. The number is 212. The Yankees in 20 games as a team have struck out 212 times. I mean, that is astronomical. I mean, it is insanity. I think you have to go back over those 20 games all the way back to June 18th is when this stretch started. I mean, Goldschmidt's 0 for his last 34. Bellinger has it at RBI in 50 or 51 at-bats. Rice continues to hit some home runs, but he is dramatically cooled off. They miss Aaron Judge. They get a well-pitched game. We talked about yesterday. What do you expect from Cole? I thought Cole would pitch well. I just didn't know if the Yankees would score, and they didn't. Now they got an afternoon affair, and they're on the precipice here of falling even further back when you look at that complexion of the American League East. And it's really bad. The struggle is real. They go through these stretches, it seems like, every single year, Jensen, when you watch the Yankees. It's a long 162-game season. They haven't looked this bad. Like, this is a kind of a new lull for the Yankees. Like, they have looked really, really bad over the last 20 games.
Only the Athletics have a worse record than the New York Yankees, if you will, 5-13. The Yankees and the Mets, a combined 11-28 since June 18th. Just absolutely dismal there in the Big Apple, no question about it. Team that has really started to turn things around, that is the Detroit Tigers, 12-6 since June 18th. But this will be the swan song for one of the greats of all time to put on the Tiger jersey. It was announced yesterday by Justin Verlander that this will indeed be his final season. One of the great starting pitchers, not only in Tiger history, but of the modern era, Moose. You think about the accolades. He is definitely a surefire first ballot Hall of Famer, 10-time All-Star, including being a Legends pick this year, announced yesterday by Commissioner Rob Manfred as a selection by the commissioner to the American League All-Star team. 3 times winning the Cy Young, 2-time World Series champion, 2006 American League Rookie of the Year, 2011 American League Most Valuable Player, 3 no-hitters, postseason leader in strikeouts, 8th all-time in regular season strikeouts with 3,554. I don't know what the price is going to be for his final home start, at least in the regular season there at Comerica Park. But what a stage that will be. I would expect a sold-out house. Hysterical press conference. I'll get your thought on this yesterday. So he announces it, you know, to the media. Tarek Skubal was starting yesterday. And, of course, they've developed a real kinship with each other. Apparently, he didn't want to bother Tarek Skubal on his start day. And many starters have a routine where they want to be by themselves. They want to do their thing. They want to stay in the moment, in the zone. And so apparently Tarek Skubal finds out secondhand that the announcement is being made. He shows up in the press conference room with, like, arms crossed, you know, like a defiant father looking down at his kid, like, I can't believe you did this. And so JV sees him, kind of chuckles a little bit and goes, what do you feel? And Skubal goes, disappointed. And JV goes, oh, even worse, disappointed. I don't want to disappoint you. But, I mean, is as good a mentor, regardless if you're a rookie, if you're a veteran, if you're a Cy Young winner, what a campaign this will be to finish Justin Verlander's career.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's a great story. He told another great one down in the minor leagues early on. And with, in terms of what Justin Verlander was down in the minor leagues, Jensen, I love those stories as well. Listen, there's nothing that he didn't accomplish on a mound, and that's the way you want to go out. And it's just time for Justin Verlander. He really is. And you could even go back to the early start of his career. He kind of orchestrated this era of Major League Baseball in terms of the velocity to which pitchers throw at. You know, I remember the All-Star game. I think it was out in Kansas City where he got the start. And Jensen, the case was he went out there to try and hit triple digits when he was on the mound. Remember that All-Star game? I think it was out in Kansas City, the home of the Royals. So, he has been a tremendous leader, winner. He was a revelation down in Houston after everyone thought his career was over in Detroit. But it's just time. And it's great that he has that kind of relationship with Skubal. And he has a lot of those kind of relationships all across the sport, because I think you have to pay homage. And you mentioned earlier on, he's going to go into the Hall of Fame on roller skates. 266 career wins, the 3 Cy Young Awards, everything that he has done on the mound. I mean, Justin Verlander really defined starting pitching for a generation here for Major League Baseball fans.
No question about it. So congrats to JV on a heck of a career. And I know the Tigers now starting to turn around. They're hoping that it's not just a regular season finale that will be for Justin Verlander in a Tigers uniform. They still have designs on finding their way to the promised land in October. The promised land is on the precipice at the All England Club in Wimbledon. In about 20 minutes time, we'll get the women's semifinal underway, or the ladies. Let me be proper with how they call it over there, Mark. The ladies semifinal. Coco Gauff, a short underdog here to Karolina Muhova, who is about $1.22 favorite. And then shortly after, it'll be Linda Nuskova, who's about a plus $1.14 underdog, against Marta Kostyuk, minus $1.37, minus $1.40. Again, very tightly contested. The favorites out on the women's or the ladies draw, but we do get the behemoths on the men's side, Jannik Sinner, Novak Djokovic, as well as Alexander Zverev, and also, and Arthur Ferry. If you've not seen the story, dude's 500-1 before the tournament to win it. He's down to a little under 5-1 as he will play a Wimbledon semifinal tomorrow with a chance to punch his ticket as world number 114. What a story he's been as a British wild card, only the 4th wild card in the open era to reach a Grand Slam semifinal. So much more to come. Keep it locked right here on VSiN by the Books.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Our VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and whether you're into futures, win totals, division races, the MVP, rookie of the year, Super Bowl odds, what have you, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. You'll find breakdowns of all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from our VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and so much more. It is as good as it gets, people. A $175 football special for you. Get it today at vsin.com/subscribe. Again, vsin.com/subscribe. Jensen Lewis alongside Mark the Moose Malusis. The maestro Mike Palm will join us upcoming live from the Circa Resort and Casino in our next segment. But right now, a ton to get to on the pitch and a little college football future talk for you. That's where we start today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
Okay, quarterfinal of the World Pitch underway starting today. 4:00 Eastern. That is kickoff between France and Morocco from Boston Stadium, also known here in these great United States as Gillette Stadium, there in Foxborough. Here's my thought on where we are. Again, if you're just joining us, France is a whopping $4 favorite to qualify for the semifinal. Morocco is 3-1 to be able to upset France and advance. I still have those two big futures here, Moose. So here's how I'm going to play. First, Morocco, before the tournament, I jumped in on 60-1 for a quarter unit play. And then I have France and the Rays, both France to win the World Cup, parlayed with the Tampa Bay Rays to win the World Series. That is north of 65-1 for me. So again, I'm going to get a large ticket through here, no matter what, to the semifinal. As I would play this game, I would obviously look at parlaying a France to qualify, potentially, with Spain to qualify, as those two would lock up in a semifinal, or I would find a game that you like today on Major League Baseball. If you want to look even to tomorrow or the weekend, I think it's a great parlay piece. And again, I know it's pretty heavy on the price, but I do think France finds their way through. Now, as far as the scoring goes, I think there's a couple of ways you can play it. I don't anticipate this being just a shootout like we saw between Argentina and Egypt. I mean, that was just insanity, the way that those final 15 minutes plus stoppage time played out. Couple of angles I'd be interested in, and I'll get your thoughts on it. You mentioned earlier in the program, you think Morocco, as organized as they are going to kind of pack it in, be defensive, try and kind of wear down France, try and force them to break them down, and then maybe come back on the counterattack to be able to try and get some numbers forward. That in mind, I wouldn't mind playing a France to advance and an under 3.5 alternate total. Now, I know that's going to be a little juicy price, but again, we're looking at kind of where we are here, and I think people want to try and avoid what, you know, craziness you could get if indeed this is a draw in that 90 minutes plus stoppage time. So if we build it out, if you want to take just even the total goals in regulation under 2.5, and you think that France can advance, shop around and see where you can parlay some of that. But if you want to do just in regulation, France is $1.70 in the 90 minute line. If you play them plus the under 2.5, that's plus 232 on a same game parlay right there. So I think that's probably the way I would go if I'm getting a little creative, but I'm with you. I think France find a way here in the 90 minutes to take care of business and find their way through.
Yeah, I'm Jensen, I think you ran through it really, really well. A couple things that I like. I mean, first, in, you know, a rematch here of the semifinal that we saw in 2022, right? Morocco, you have to go back to 2025, the last time they, as a soccer nation with this group, has lost a match. I think they've gone 34 straight matches, right? France is, we mentioned earlier in the show, trying to become just the third nation ever in World Cup history to reach three consecutive semifinals. The French team are the betting favorite to win the World Cup for a reason, right? So a couple of things that you look at this one, I think the style and fashion in which it gets played, Morocco's got to limit the explosive ability of Kylian Mbappe. I think they will to an extent, but I think in the end, I think Mbappe proves to be a difference maker in this match. You look at any time goal scorer, 90 minutes plus extra time, you're looking at Mbappe at minus $1.20, which I'd be intrigued by, right? We talked about the golden boot race a little bit earlier on, and he's right there, obviously, trailing Lionel Messi by a goal, who's got 8 for Argentina so far through this World Cup. I'd look at the under 2.5. Like, I think this game has the earmarks of it, and you threw out some final scores before of maybe a French victory over Morocco by the count of 2-0. So I would go under the 2.5 goals at minus $1.25 in terms of them advancing. If that doesn't strike your fancy, anytime goal score or whatever, I mean, I'm all in on France this afternoon up there at Boston Stadium, Gillette Stadium. I don't care what you want to call it. And I would take them minus the $1.75 on the money line to advance as well. Like, I think there's a reason why we've all watched it. Paraguay got really, really physical with France in the last match. People were bothered by that. I don't think Morocco is going to go that way. And I think Morocco is a really, really good soccer team from what we've seen here. And them being here in the quarterfinals, not a mistake based on what we saw 4 years ago. I just think this is a different level. So I'm going to take those three things. Mbappe to score minus $1.20 anytime, under 2.5 goals at minus $1.25. And then on the money line, minus $1.75. We're all in on the French this afternoon up in Beantown.
If you like Le Bleu, as a correct score, 1-0 for France is 5-1, 2-0 is 6-1. So a chance to kind of play around and maybe split up a unit and do a couple of creative plays there. It is not too early to talk American football, and that is the pigskin version here. We are going to get into the week zero before you know it, but let's start with some national championship futures. Obviously, everyone looking at Indiana right now to try and dethrone the defending champs. Different squad we'll be looking at. We talked a little Josh Hoover, Kurt Cignetti in the Heisman race yesterday. Let's talk overall feel here, Moose. One play and one future I already have in pocket. I did take Miami at 13-1. Got a share of them to win the national title. Found that on Hard Rock a handful of weeks ago. Big reason why, again, they get one of the big quarterback transfers in Daria Mensah from Duke. Again, the explosiveness of Malachi Toney on display last year all the way through the national title game. Mark Fletcher Jr. in the backfield, a beast to behold. You would feel that the ACC feels incredibly winnable for them. They should find their way with ease. Even if there's a catastrophic injury, I still think they've got enough to get through to win that conference. That being said, any names on that first page of the board, any of those schools that jump out to you that you would want to get a share of here before we get the season underway?
Yeah, I'd touch on Georgia at plus 850. I mean, if you look at the Bulldogs and, you know, and Gunnar Stockton back at quarterback when you're looking at Georgia, but, and the task and the, you know, they start off with a, you know, a couple of patsies to begin the season, Tennessee State and Western Kentucky, before they get into that SEC schedule on the road in Arkansas. But Oklahoma's home. The two big challenges are going to be Alabama on the road down in Tuscaloosa, October the 10th on a Saturday. They get Florida at home. That's a little bit of a program in transition. Then Saturday, November 7th on the road in to take on Ole Miss. But I think when you look at this Georgia program, you look at this team, obviously, you know, five-star recruits are bound, talented offensively and defensively. SEC is really, really good. I think the way that the schedule breaks down for them, I think it's a little bit more favorable. Listen, you can't get through the SEC and go through that conference without being tested, but Georgia would be an intriguing one to me. And that's just stating the obvious. I mean, a plus 850. I'm not like exactly, it's not, I'm not curing, you know, not giving you something outlandish here, but I think the Bulldogs are really live here for Kirby Smart in 2026.
All right, you know me and my cross-board parlays. I just happen to think about it. France to advance today to the semifinal, parlayed with your Georgia take to win the national title, gets the Bulldogs just a tick south of 11-1. So that'd be a nice double-digit future to kind of have in pocket.
I love your creativity, Jensen. I love your creativity. You're always thinking. You're always thinking, looking to maximize value. I love it.
All right. Well, okay. So if we want to get a little greedy here, if you want France to qualify today, Spain to qualify tomorrow over Belgium, and then you want to take the dogs, that gets you to 15-1. So I kind of like doubling almost that initial standalone prop. And again, if hell freezes over here and Belgium find a way through against La Roja, we can always rebet it. It's okay, people. There's more in the tank to fire on. But just again, another way to increase your ROI when you can use some of those decided favorites in your favor and be able to hitch it to one of those top teams that I think we will see not only back in the college football playoff, but again, in a highly competitive SEC. Much more to break down in the coming weeks as we inch closer to week zero and the start of college football season. Our day always starts well when we get a chance to catch up with a maestro. Mike Palm will join us live from Circuit Resort and Casino. A big, big broadcast weekend on tap for the World Cup. What is the future update there at the book? And Love Island at Stadium Swim? Yes, sir. Mike Palm will be in attendance. He joins us next at VSiN Buzz.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Hey, if you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with cryptocurrency using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure, and another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. All you have to do is visit BurraPay, that's BurraPay.com, to learn more and take advantage of fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st. That's exclusively at the Circa Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino. Reminder, BurraPay transaction fees are waived as a part of this campaign, but standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. That is where we are headed. Downtown Las Vegas, live from the Circa Resort and Casino. It's not J-Lew and Moose there yet, but we wish we were, because it's always great when we get to see our man live and in living color, the maestro, Mike Palm, VP of Operations of Circa, the D, and the Golden Gate Casino, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Give him a follow at the new X handle at Circa Maestro. Buddy, always great to see you live there. And boy, it has been a sight to see watching all the festivities there behind you at the sportsbook. You guys will have full audio there for all the quarterfinal matches. Am I right? Today, tomorrow, and Saturday, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. In the book, we'll have full audio on all four quarterfinals. At Stadium Swim, we will have the UFC card in the evening on Saturday. So the Argentina-Switzerland semifinal will not have full audio. The main audio will be on UFC. Here in the book, all four quarterfinals.
How has the World Cup been for the book in terms of handle? How, with the United States being out now, Mike, do you think that will greatly impact interest?
Well, for us, Mexico being out is worse because the crowds that came for the Mexico games were absolutely phenomenal. Not that they were big betting crowds, but they were sure great food and beverage crowds. You filled the sports book and Stadium Swim. I mean, we'd run out of our parking in Garage Mahal. And USA, maybe, you know, for the knockout rounds and the round of 32, I would say USA probably had 90% of the Mexico crowds. Monday night wasn't as strong as I thought it was going to be. From a betting perspective, it's been terrific. Mark, we've taken, I believe, six bets of 500,000 or more on the World Cup. Obviously, we posted the 750,000 on USA against Belgium. Now that we didn't win 750K, obviously we wrote back Belgium money on that. But so far, the results have been terrific. And, you know, I'm looking at our future liabilities. Only Belgium's a loser to us. That's it. The other seven teams are all winners. Norway's a big winner. And I'll tell you the other two. France and Spain, who likely one of those will be in the finals, are also significant winners for us. So we're set up very well from a future book perspective.
That is remarkable. And let me press you, at least from my side, because you and I will have a betting interest. We talked Norway futures before the tournament. Yeah. And I know you were talking with Mitch and Polly on Follow the Money yesterday. It is actually broken a little bit better, I think, in the draw. And with their momentum, I know everyone looking at England having survived a man down there at Estadio Azteca. Size it up in your eyes. Do you like kind of where Erling Haaland and that group are? I think all the pressure kind of on England at this point, they come back stateside. It's going to be a fascinating dynamic there on Saturday afternoon. What do you like about where that quarterfinal match is there, Mike?
Yeah, so I have 6-1 that Norway reaches the semis. So I have a very clear hedge here if I want it or monetize this position. And then 30-1 that they win it all. I like that they were on this side of the bracket, that they weren't on the Spain-France side. Would I rather play Mexico outside of Mexico City? Maybe, maybe. But, I mean, early, you know, these guys in Norway aren't going to be intimidated by England. A lot of them play in the Premier League. So, I mean, the players are very familiar with each other. I just think Haaland has been onto himself, somebody that, you know, is able to create all these scoring opportunities. And he's really almost impossible to deal with in the box because of his physical stature and his strength. So I give them a very good chance. I mean, you know, I know they were kind of a dark horse coming in. I don't know that a lot of people bet them because their odds stayed above 30-1 before the tournament started. But they've certainly played into the role of not being a dark horse, but being a very legitimate member of the final eight here. I like their chances a lot. I will end up monetizing on England to advance because I have to at this point on the ticket. You get this far. But obviously I want the England hedge to fail because I want a shot at that 30-1, the real prize.
Mike, I'm curious when you look at Argentina and Switzerland, you know, anything there from your perspective, you know, in terms of a feel for that match, given what we've seen here from Messi, you know, the Jets and I talked about the golden boot race. You know, their last two matches have been, I mean, unbelievable, whether it be against Cape Verde or obviously against Egypt. How about Argentina here moving through now, taking on the Swiss?
All right, Mark, for me, this is the hardest of the four quarterfinals to handicap because I've really been disappointed in Argentina defensively their last two matches. I get the second goal by Cape Verde was just an incredible strike. The first goal was sloppy. I made a comment to a friend where we were watching the game the other morning through text. Their fast break defense was horrific against Egypt, right? I mean, they were just befuddled by Egypt coming down 3-on-3 or 2-on-2. So I don't know what to make of Argentina. You know, they're great. They came back. They survived. Switzerland's been very good. I like Colombia a lot. I lost that. I had the under, but I had Colombia to advance. I had Colombia to win to nil in 90, and they had their chances. But the Swiss have been very, very buttoned up here with clean sheets the last two games. So I don't know what to make of it. I probably will not play this game. I really have not gotten involved in Argentina games other than against Austria. I bet Messi to score and to score two goals in that game. Those are the only real bets I've made on Argentina game. I haven't had a great handle on them, so I've stayed away.
I don't blame you. Quarterfinals traditionally are where upsets usually occur. And so with Argentina back-to-back scares, not saying, you know, that Switzerland first time to the quarters in 72 years are, you know, that match made in heaven. But we will certainly see. Let me ask you, Mark and I have talked about it. I've kind of diversified my future portfolio with cross sport parlays. These are futures, Mike, to win the World Cup parlayed with World Series winners. France and Spain, obviously being shorter shots, I wanted to try and get them to pretty decent higher numbers. So I parlayed France to win the World Cup with the Rays to win the World Series. That's upwards of 65-1. I have Spain parlayed with the Phillies to win the World Series at about 109-1. And then I took Argentina parlay with the Mariners to win the World Series at 56-1. So I'm sitting okay as far as that goes, and I'll figure out how to creatively monetize as we move forward. Is it as simple for you with France and Spain? Is there any chance that Morocco find a way to drag this thing out, kind of park the bus and maybe, you know, get a counter and score and shock them? Or is this too much class, too much overwhelming, both from Spain today and then, France today and then Spain against Belgium tomorrow?
Boy, I would tell you I think Morocco is a lot better than Belgium, but maybe they have an equal chance of an upset. But France is just so deep, and I don't think Morocco is just going to try to say, we're not going to try to score, and we're just going to try to frustrate France. That's not the way they play. This team's been the African champs for a decade. I think Morocco knows they've got to score multiple goals in this game. I like it over 2.5 if there's a way to approach it. I just think France is so deep. And I love Spain. I mean, Spain's ranked number one. They haven't lost in 35 games, and nobody's talking about them because we're talking about France, right? They had the draw with Cape Verde, so he said, oh, they're overrated. I mean, they've got plenty of finishers, too. I don't think Portugal really threatened them in that game. And so I look for Spain to win to nil to Belgium. That's the way I played that quarterfinal here. And then, the match everybody's been waiting for in the semifinal, Spain and France. I don't know that Spain can keep a clean sheet against France. There's just too many ways to beat them. I think ultimately France is going to win this. I'm hoping it's a France-Norway rematch with Norway actually playing their starting 11 in this and not like where they conceded the final game of the group stage.
Mike, we have about 90 seconds left in this segment. I want to ask you, where are we in terms of signups for the contest over at Circa right now?
You know, it's really interesting because I've been so excited about how far ahead of pace, Mark, we've been with Survivor. But how about the millions? With 67 days left, so this is yesterday's report, but with 67 days left in the sign-up period, last year in 2025, we had 398 people in the millions. This year, 699, so up from 400 to 700. And in Survivor, up from 1,300 to 2,800. And in Grandissimo, 1 to 3. But, I mean, that's all relative to as you start to gain a little momentum. But so basically almost doubled in both of them.
I absolutely love it. One of our favorite fake aces on the mound today, Framber Valdez. With the way the Tigers have looked here the last month, do we need to reconsider where we are in the Motor City Kitties here, Mike?
Well, they're hitting the ball awful well. That division's very winnable, right? I didn't know if they could turn it around, but somebody in Detroit or the Michigan State Police should arrest for Framber for stealing the Illich family money. This is sickening to even watch him, to watch this guy pitch. Does he even care? I mean, he's not, now he's like Lugo, just get the ball and throw. Let me give up my 12 hits and get out of here. I mean, it's really brutal.
I don't think he has enough courage to cross up all-star Dylan Dingler if he gets mad. I think Dingler will put him firmly into the ground if he pulls any of that behavior, that's for sure. On your best behavior, that's what I'll have to be. Up next, it is arguably the greatest segment in VSiN history. It is Palms Pressing 3. What does Mike have on deck for me? And do we have a path through against the Dodgers in the National League? We'll talk about that when you come back on VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
Hey, how does $130 million in guaranteed prizes sound? Well, you can cash in this football season in Las Vegas with three Circa Sports contests. Entries start at $1,000, all with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Of course, Circa Millions, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win against the spread. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. The last one standing wins. And for you high rollers, Circa Grandissimo, $100,000 entry. You have to do it in Nevada, but you can play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. Go to circasports.com for details. Jensen Lewis back with the Moose, Mark Melusis alongside the maestro Mike Palm. It is as good as it gets here on VSiN any day of the week. It is time for Palm's Pressing 3.
Pressing? Yes, I say it's pressing.
This is Palm's Pressing 3.
Now, my mother told me never to answer a question with a question.
Sir, my client has answered every question asked by this committee with the utmost sincerity.
Jensen, one thing that's always fascinated me about baseball is that over a 162-game season, players are almost trained to eliminate emotion. Whether you just got lit up or you threw a perfect inning, it was head down and on to the next game. My question is this. After suppressing powerful emotions for years as a player, does it become difficult to show those same emotions when now it's allowed and expected? Did baseball train you to become so emotionally muted that it changed the way you experienced life after the field? Do you ever wonder whether the emotional discipline that made you a successful major leaguer also came at a cost, and that it left you so much of your emotional expression off the field that after your career ended, it became harder to fully experience and express the joy of family milestones, personal achievements, and the simple everyday moments that make life so meaningful because you left all your emotions out on the mound when you left the field for the very last time?
Fantastic question. Boy, you have to fake it to make it sometimes. And whether you feel on top of the world or whether you come out of the bullpen, you're like, I don't have it to save my life today. You have got to remain as though you are the man, no question about it. Mike, I've had plenty of conversations with guys that, and even the ladies that have played at the highest level. You know, we as athletes, I could never boo a player. I can't do it because I've physically been there. I know the adversity. I know the work. I know the tireless hours, the sacrifice. I could never demean or boo a player in live competition. I can certainly have constructive criticism. I hearken back to the discussion we had about Carly Lloyd yesterday, in which she was incredibly candid about her thoughts on Christian Pulisic. When you're in the arena, you're allowed that credibility. And as long as you back it up with facts, you can't be really demeaned whatsoever because you've been there. You've done that. Now, as it pertains to once you're done playing, I think there is that healthy medium of remembering how difficult it is to play, because that, even in baseball, and Moose, you know this as well, play 162 games plus postseason. I mean, every day you're not going to be at your best. And so as an analyst and as a former big leaguer, at least when I'm talking about baseball, I always qualified my remarks, whether it be pregame, in-game, postgame, with that thought in the back of my head. Remember how hard it is to do what they do day in and day out. We've all been there. We all end up being told at one point that we can no longer play the beautiful game. But Moose, that's always something that I remembered no matter what. When I played, and now that I've been done playing for some time, always remember how hard it is to do what we do at the highest level.
Yeah, and Jensen, not only doing it, but talking to other athletes that played multiple sports, you know, different sports over the course of the years, they talk about being able to maintain a balance as a player. You can't get too high, you can't get too low, because those emotions can also drain you as a performer and what you're exactly, yes, what you're trying to go out there and do. So I think it's a great question by Mike, but yeah, you look at it, I'm sure it gives you, it alters you as you move forward a little bit once your playing career comes to an end.
Question two, Jensen, on Friday, a bettor at Circa made a $3,000 eight-team parlay of eight Major League Baseball full game totals under. There were 13 games played last Friday. Five went over and eight went under. And wouldn't you know it, the bettor had those exact eight games that went under and his ticket cashed and paid over $500,000. Now, let's go behind the curtains a little bit here, Jensen. As a bookmaker, there is always some trepidation about correlated parlays on Fridays, in particular Fridays, because you never know when Major League Baseball is going to decide to put all new balls in across the country. And you don't know if that new set of balls are going to perform significantly different than the old balls. Are the new set of balls going to be more juiced? Are they going to be dead? Like if 12 of the 13 games would have went under, would they put all the dead balls in? How often did you find that when Major League Baseball changed the balls mid-season, the balls performed differently?
Gosh, this is phenomenal stuff here. And this is really pulling back the curtain. It Eno Saris, for those that are subscribers to The Athletic, of course, he has done so much great work along with Fangraphs and people that have really started to dive in about how the ball has been carrying or the drag isn't as much on baseballs throughout this season. Tarek Skubal, I believe, was talking about this, Mike, that the consistency of the actual ball has been in jeopardy, looking into why there's been manufacturing issues, the rise in home runs. I would also put in average fastball velocity has elevated so much. So regardless if the ball is juiced or not, you are getting a lot of high-octane stuff, not only from starting pitching, but relievers that roll out of bed throwing 98 to 100. So you're not having to supply as much power physically as a hitter. We, the pitcher, are kind of helping you out with that higher average elevated fastball, and that increased velo is certainly contributing to it. For me, it wasn't as much I was thinking about it. I'd rely more on some of our starting pitchers. They were like, this is not feeling. We were more worried, Mike, about the actual consistency of the rub of the ball. There were certain places you would go where, and I won't name names because I don't want to have anyone, you know, be upset because I'm not sure it still happens this way, but the uniformity of some road places, ball was like a cue ball in some spots. The other was like, oh, this is nice. I'm going to be able to let it rip. Good breaking ball, you know, consistency there. So definitely moves some issues, but I can understand where Mike's coming from as a bookmaker. My goodness, good luck. Good luck trying to get some inside sources when those balls are being changed out.
Well, and you've even seen it this year where they've had a production problem, where you've seen a yellowing of the baseball this year as well due to the yarn and the dye and everything like that. So, and people complained about the drag and the liveliness to it. So a little bit of a roll of the dice. That always seems to be the issue when you're looking at Major League Baseball, in terms of where the seams are, how raised they are, where the drag is, lift. And we all know Major League Baseball likes offense for sure.
Final question, Jensen. Last night during the Rockies-Dodgers game, I'll take you to the bottom of the first inning. Dodgers are ahead 3-0, first and second and two out, and center fielder Alex Call is at the plate. Ball one, strike one, challenge. Challenges the pitch, and it grazes the upper or outside corner. Okay, 1-1. Dodgers are left with one challenge. Third pitch, strike two. He challenges again. The whole ball is in the strike zone. Right. And he eventually strikes out. The fans at Chavez Ravine, the late arriving crowd, was booing loudly. The Dodgers bench was visibly upset. Jensen, I know you're the greatest player advocate of all time, but how is this even possible? Aren't teams developing well-defined ABS protocols? Should Alex Call be fined by the Dodgers? And if not, should Davey Roberts be fined?
Man, I don't even know if I can defend Alex Call on this. There have been some severely egregious calls here. Hey, and listen, as a Vanderbilt guy, I think I'm pretty smart, but I can tell when the emotion gets the better of some of these guys. And I mean, if it were me in this system, I don't know if I could allow, you know, younger guys to be able to do it in their first at bat. You know, run scoring situations, everything is so, I'll be fascinated, Mike. And I do want to reach out to some people in our analytics community. Maybe you can too, with some of your Dodger connections. I would love to know the algorithms and things they're using to come up with, because you know, these organizations are doing it with an eye on October. When's the advantageous time to use it? When is the least successful? So on and so forth. I mean, right now, the Houston Astros are the best team in Major League Baseball right now. 62% win percentage of ABS on successful overturns. Player-wise, I think Sal Stewart has the most challenges won right now at 23. William Contreras, as far as you know, a challenge in the field. Catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers has the most one as far as getting successful overturns. I personally think that Alex Call might be receiving a fine in kangaroo court. Not sure what that would be, but I could envision a maximum fine might be in the offing there. Never a fine for you, sir. You are fine indeed. And always another scintillating Palms Pressing 3 in the books here on VSiN by the Books. We'll talk a little more Dodgers. We're going to audit the National League West. Mike, maybe you should stick around. I know you got some feel on where we are. You got to lay $20,000 for the Dodgers to win the division. Is there any value in the West? We'll talk about it next.